Hello and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glamarn, and Gareth Martin.
Hello.
Right, obviously, today was the Turkish Grand Prix qualifying. And Gareth, you were the man on the scene. You were watching it. Was it a stunner? Was it a thriller? Was it just a qualifying?
It was just a qualifying.
But Gareth, how can that be? This is the greatest season ever, if you believe certain people in the BBC.
It's definitely not the greatest season ever. There was nothing wrong with the quali. Nothing exciting happened. The track started delivering later on. If you're in the right place at the right time, you can get a good lap in.
Let's start at the back. We'll go through Q1 first, and we can highlight the winners and the losers. Keep in mind that there is penalties to be applied to some of the drivers. We'll come back to that right at the end, if I can remember. But Mazepin 20th, how did the boy wind up there? Must have been wet conditions, pure car, driver.
He was just putting the car where it's not meant to be again.
Let's be honest, he's still learning. He's still learning, that boy. Daddy's paying for him to learn this year, so he might as well get in the laps. Kimi Räikkönen in 19th. Kimi, what are you up to? His drinks bottle, did that burst again?
I reckon that's what it was. I did have to laugh at his comments on the radio when he comes back in saying his feet are wet because of the drink system's not working. And then the mechanic has a look at it and says, Kimmy, it's not working because it's disconnected. He went, I know, because it was leaking into my helmet, so I disconnected it. Kimmy, love it.
Kimmy, the first driver. The first driver drowned in a Formula One race. Giovinazzi making sure he keeps his seat at Alfa Romeo in 18th. He's out the door. He's gone. Nicholas Latifi in 17th. I'll come back to it. I mean, the simple fact is, Latifi, if he's the same sort of driver as George and is as good as George, he'd be qualifying up in 13th and 12th with George. But he's no. Latifi's just there taking a paycheck. When his tenureship at Williams,
there for numbers.
When he finishes there, he's not going up the grid. He's off to NASCAR or something, I think. And then we come to Daniel Ricciardo. This, I take it, Danny is the first person that we can talk about really having wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he crossed the line just as the track was starting to evolve a wee bit. And unfortunately, he didn't have the time to go back around and put in a lap. So, yeah, bit of a shame because I think there's obviously some confidence was coming back into his driving and into the car. But I think the track, I think, was the biggest driver for where a lot of these cars are this week.
Yeah,
it wasn't necessarily down to their driving skills. It was just the fact that if you're in the right place at the right time.
Seeing them on qualifying the first time, they're really in anger going around the track, Gareth. Do you think that, obviously the track was relayed last year. And we saw how slippery it was. We've moved on a year. They've jet washed it. It's had a summer. Is it still not a racetrack yet?
It's definitely, if there's any moisture in the air, it is not a racetrack. It is a skating rink. And I think you've seen it in, FP1, 2 and 3, and then we got to Q3, and it was pretty much the same. I think they all came out, hoping to get a lap in, and there was more than one facing the wrong way or were on the wrong part of the track due to the conditions. It's not ideal.
The thing is, we've no support races this weekend either, so there's nothing to help. I mean, it's just Formula One cars out there. They're only out there for what is the 3 hours AFP1, 2 and 3 and then qualifying. That's not enough to rubber up a green track with oil and stuff still coming out of it. It'll take a good couple of years before it gets to a point that we can go proper racing. That being said, Hamilton did break the lap record on it, which just goes to show that the cars have obviously improved so much that even on a track that's not the best in Nick, that they can break the lap record that Montoya set. Moving into Q2, Carlos Sainz didn't set a time in Q2, keeping in mind he's taking penalties for engine and turbo, this, that, and the next, everything, I think. So he'll be starting at the back of the grid. George Russell, Mick Schumacher made into Q2. Boy's got to be happy with that.
Well. Yeah.
I think that is maybe, that actually is what we talk about when we see Russell, the driver outperforming the car.
Yes.
It's maybe not every race so far, but it's starting to show that glimmer. Starting to show.
Well, be where he is in the Haas. I mean, we've said often enough on here. The Haas is essentially a tugboat, and it steers like a tugboat.
That Haas must be the 2018 spec.
Yeah, I think, when you've seen some of the stuff that they were talking about, I think it was in free practice that they were talking about the development on the Haas, or the lack thereof. And you kind of wonder if they'd done a little bit of development on that car, just a little bit. Look at the aero. These guys might have been doing a wee bit better. Certainly Schumacher anyway. But yeah, you have to wonder if calling it quits on that car so early has essentially put them into a bit of a sticky. I mean,
as you said, Latifi, the Haas seem to be there just making up the numbers. And next year, we hope that this pays dividends to these teams that have said, we're doing nothing this year.
We're going to have to, yeah.
And I just hope that the cars come out and we get a field of 20 that are all within that 1 second. I keep talking about this, 1 second within first to 20th in qualifying, and Formula One will have done its job. But we wait and see. George Russell in 13th, he's made it into Q2. Again, it must have been a tricky session for him, but I mean, he's probably disappointed with that he didn't make it into Q3. He's got into that habit of getting it up there, but again, he's held back by the car. We'll see next year.
I think he possibly could have made it through. It was just that final corner. The back end just let go a wee bit, and he run off the track. And that's what I think where he kind of lost the time, but yeah.
Ocon in 12th, Sebastian Vettel in 11th, and Wartoni Tsunoda in 10th. Lance Stroll qualified 9th, but Sebastian Vettel and Lance Stroll I don't know if it's been confirmed yet. I've not seen anything that there was talk of them possibly changing components in the engine. They may take that decision after qualifying. And we'll find out for the race tomorrow. But they may be going to the back, both of them. And we'll talk about the penalty system once we get through the full grid, because it's still something that we mentioned yesterday, but I want your kind of views on it as well. In front of Lance Stroll, we've got Lando Norris in 8th, trying to make amends for Russia. Was he caught out with the timing or just conditions?
The way he was talking, it's a shame, and I hope that what happened in Russia hasn't kind of dented his confidence because we know that in the wet he can drive like a demon. But they interviewed him after the race and he just seemed a wee bit off. Yeah, they were talking about, Lewis is going to be behind him, and he's like, yeah, he'll probably pass me in the first couple of laps. But having said that, we've seen how well he held up Hamilton previously. So, hopefully he can do something. The way he was talking, I don't know if they've really got the car tuned in for this track, and that was something that they've spoken about a lot of the cars this week.
The trouble is, it's difficult to compare Lando's times in Q1, 2, and 3 versus, say, Ricardo, because as you say, the track's developing, so there's big chunks of time come off, and it's because of the evolution of the track as opposed to the drivers just improved. But
and it was lap on lap.
Yeah. I really hope, like you said, I hope it's no knock to his confidence. I think the pit wall really were probably to blame. They should have instilled confidence in him by saying, you need to come in, trust us on this. And Lando, under immense amounts of pressure, just decided to go for it, and it didn't pay off, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, you've seen that with Hamilton. So, the team said to him, you're coming in.
Yep.
A lot of times we've seen Hamilton go, no, you're all right, I'm going to stick with this. I've got everyone here that I need. But they called him in last race. And I think that's, as you say, that's where maybe a wee bit of experience comes into it, in so much as the pit wall for McLaren just weren't quite strong enough to say, you are coming in this lap.
I think what Derek said was right when he said that 10 years ago the McLaren pit wall wouldn't have made that mistake. And they've got new people coming through. So I think there is experience here, because the McLaren team and the McLaren pit wall are not the same McLaren team and pit wall that we had between 2000 and 2010. So that they're still learning, but they're on their way up. I think actually next year, I think, because if anyone can develop a car, McLaren can. And I think I think it's actually got to be a 3, maybe even a 4-way battle actually at the top next season. If they've developed the car properly. And as I've said, we're still talking about McLaren. I've got an engine shoehorned into the car. It wasn't developed for it. They just kind of went, we're going to the Mercedes engine, so just squeeze it in. And it's not packaged as well as McLaren liked to, but it's a bit disappointing for him. I hoped he'd be further up, especially when you look at what's in front of him. Sergio Perez and the other Red Bull, he's in 7th. Fernando Alonso, Alonso's kind of found his groove to a certain extent, even if it is off well. And round the bollards at turn two and proving a point and making a point, which, yeah. I mean, he'd done absolutely nothing wrong. He's just highlighting that the politics in Formula One are still there, still kicking about, and decisions aren't being made that should be getting made. So,
yeah.
Good on you, Alonso. Keep sticking it to that man. Pierre Gasly, the man's returned back to his sort of prominent positions, fifth and sixth in qualifying.
Yeah.
I just didn't get it. The qualifying performance of the car is so good. And then straight backwards. I mean, there's got to be something. I mean, the weight in the car or something is messing with that car once they try and race with it. I just don't get it. Hopefully. Again, it's another one that will get fixed next season. Charles Leclerc and the Ferrari. That's in a good bit of position, especially this battle. This battle for McLaren is seesawing back and forth. We're talking about the points difference between what is obviously Mercedes and Red Bull being 33 points, but that's maybe just a first and a second. They're dealing in those bigger points. With McLaren and Ferrari, it's a 28-point difference gap, but where these guys are finishing, that 28 points, they have to grind out.
It's difficult to close it.
Good number of sort of fifths or something to versus eighths and ninths to try and make up that gap. And again, Ferrari have obviously got a new engine in that car. I don't know if that's obviously helped Leclerc in any way, shape, or form. Leclerc said before the last Grand Prix it's not a big step forward, but they've obviously improved it slightly, maybe reliability, something. But
didn't seem to have a big impact today. No. I think the most of it came from the fact that the track just got faster.
Do you think Ferrari is a team and as a result, especially because Leclerc was another one that really suffered with the rain in Russia, but do you think Leclerc and Ferrari, that's a deserved fourth, or they just kind of lucked into it?
Do you know, watching the quality of the only person that I've seen really tanking it was Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. In fact, I suppose Hamilton, Bottas and Verstappen were all putting in purple sectors at one point or another. The two Mercs then pulled a bit forward and they were putting in the purples. But I think Hamilton absolutely deserved pole. It is just a shame that he's taking that engine penalty and it's pushing him back down. Because again, it's going to be interesting to see how he gets through the pack in front of him.
I think because Hamilton's already turned around and says it's got to be kind of tough, which is a lot of crap.
I don't think so.
Because, let's be honest, we'll look at Russia as just an example. And although Max Verstappen made it up to seventh and he got kind of stuck there with the strategy and tyres and stuff, but the other cars, he was through them like a hot knife through butter. And he would have actually been up into sort of third position if it wasn't for strategy calls and burning out his tyres to get through them. And I think this is what it is. These teams, especially Mercedes and Red Bull, when they come to having to take an engine penalty, the penalty isn't big enough for those teams because they can start 20th and finish. They can target a podium, no problem, because they know that 16 other cars on the track are not really going to hold them up. Maybe Russia and the McLarens, they had a great weekend. Maybe the Ferraris, but again, last race that wasn't the case. So we've really got to talk about these guys taking 10 place penalties for an engine change, and because the whole point of three engines for the season was to cut down on costs. But all that's happening, and we've seen it the past few seasons, all that happens is they go, oh, you know what, the engines maybe, oh, so we'll take a penalty, and it's absolutely defeating the purpose of having it. Either turn around and say to them, you've got five engines for the season and be done with it. Or say, look, if you, and I said it yesterday, if you take an engine penalty, and this is the other thing, because we've now got Hamilton's starting in 11th, Max is going to be starting in 2nd, so it's going to take ages before the two even come together. So as race fans, we're not getting to see them racing at the front every weekend because of grid penalties. Take World Championship points off of them. Maybe the constructors, it'd be difficult to obviously turn around and say take off the drivers, but likewise, how they drive the engine maybe has an effect. If you crash the car, there might be some effect on them there. But take championship points off of them, hit them in the pocket. Because all that's going to happen is what we're seeing now. Bottas, I've now got five engines. Yeah. He's flush with engines because he's taking two penalties. Yeah. It just defeats the purpose.
It's an unfair way of working it.
It's no fit for the purpose. Derek was suggesting maybe them starting, so if you're taking, because obviously when you total all these things up and it's the engine plus this, this, this and this, and it's a 43 grid place penalty, start them what would effectively be 43rd on the grid. But likewise, if you have an incident into turn one or a yellow flag or a safety car, it nullifies that, you know? So
yeah, take the blame.
Hit them with penalty points off of the championship, and then that way we would see Lewis, Bottas and Verstappen, that's your top three by the way, you would see them going off the line. Instead of that, we've got Hamilton trying to come through for 10th, and really it's how good they can get through. It's banana skins. He comes up on the back, for example, to Sunda. That's a banana skin that Hamilton's got to get around. But I think at Turkey, it's another track they've looked at and said, look, we've got the big long back straight, and then they've got double DRS into the main straight. There's two great overtaking opportunities. I don't care what Hamilton says in the press about, oh, it's tough to overtake. That's a lot of nonsense. That's just...
Nah.
Nobody believes that. He doesn't believe that. You know, it's up there where he's, my tyres are short. I can't stay in these tyres any longer.
And then puts in fastest.
Exactly. I mean, okay, there's a second phase of greening and stuff that maybe is going through, but I think it's pantomime that the other teams can maybe hear, but nobody takes it seriously anymore. Not anymore. I mean, the thing is, we've got to talk about the World Championship here at the moment. As it stands, there's only 2 points between them, and taking engine penalties is a big deal. And I get saying, first of all, obviously, taking the extra engine, hit them there. But if this was the last race of the season, that would be an issue. But it's not. All the teams are making sure that that doesn't happen by taking these engine penalties in advance.
Yeah, it's all tactical.
It is. Which is fine if at the start of the season they turn around and say, you can take your extra engines and the penalties, and that is part of the strategy, as opposed to this nonsense where it's such an eco-friendly sport and they're only going through three engines and we've cut back on costs. And it's nonsense. But the World Championship, 2 points in it, it is a small margin, and it feels like, at the moment with Hamilton taking his penalty, it's like Verstappen's got that game in hand. It's that kind of, we should come away for Turkey. If all things go as, maybe the race will play out, Max will have the championship lead. But it's interesting because Max has actually led nearly three times as many laps as what Hamilton has this season, but Hamilton's still ahead in the championship. Which says a lot about maybe how the championship is went back and forth. But it does go to show that Red Bull should be the championship winning car. But with punctures in Baku and incidents at Silverstone, these things obviously swings and roundabouts. But
the additional bad luck that's hit Max, had those not happened, I think the difference in the points within the championship would be so different.
I think,
in all honesty, I think Max would be a good couple of races ahead on points.
That I would completely agree with. What I would say, though, is, I don't know, I feel that Mercedes, once they came back for the mid-season break, Merck are always stronger in the second half. And although the performances, for one thing or another, Spa we can discount. Looking at Russia was obviously a good performance for them. It was a strong weekend, but Max's penalty. And then we look at the other races, Imola, where they obviously crashed and stuff. Zandvoort, where he kept Max honest for the whole weekend and had good performance from the car. But on the whole, and this track I think has proven it, it feels like Mercedes have just got a wee bit of an edge back over Red Bull. And I don't know whether it's going to play out the rest of the season, because some of the tracks should be Red Bull tracks. I mean, Mexico should be a Red Bull track, but that long straight, but engine power, I don't know how it's going to play out this season. But do you feel Merck have got a wee bit extra at this moment in time?
They seem, performance wise, they seem to have. The odd thing is, this question keeps getting put to Toto about the fact that, you know, this track is a Mercedes track and this track is a Red Bull track. And what he's saying is, and he keeps saying, is the fact that things have changed so much this year because of the aero and the aero loss that they had through having that low rate car passed the advantage over. Therefore, essentially, it's an open playing field. There are no specific tracks this year that suit one car better than the other. I think the biggest thing that keeps coming up is that the Merck has tracks that car suits. The Red Bull can be tweaked. And this is where Red Bull are very clever with their car, because they can tweak the car to suit a track. Mm-hmm. So it's not as black and white as my car works well on track 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
They can actually turn up at a track and say, right, okay, do you know what, the car isn't working too well there, how do we change it? What do we need to change to make it work at that track? And that's where they're gaining their advantage because, Mercedes have a slight pace advantage at the moment. However, that advantage has shrunk so much from even going for kind of last year, the year before, to where we are now.
Yeah.
The Red Bull have really started working on that car and understanding it better. Adrian Newey, you've got him on your side.
Plus, the Honda engine has stepped up the performance vastly.
I think there's a lot to be said about. They do have an advantage performance wise. However, it's how and where you can put that performance down. I think that is going to show one way or the other.
How do you see tomorrow playing out? We've got, obviously, because Lewis is further down the field. I mean, not to say, you can't write Lewis off in the sense that coming from 11th on the grid, I think Lewis could still come through a podium, no problem. Could he get the win? Maybe a mistake has to happen for him to get the win. If Max goes out there and drives as is, he'll overtake Bottas. I don't think Bottas is much in the way of a roadblock for him. But Max has also turned around and said, Bottas is there. And he must be thinking, Bottas might have a good weekend, might have a good day. Who knows?
He'd have, because he has had some better performances. I think it's odd because, again, watching quali today, if there's any kind of moisture in the air, or more importantly, on the track, that's going to change, I think, the whole scope of this. Because we've seen it last year, going into turn one, there was cars and Bottas was facing the wrong way and all the rest of it. You seen Max do his 360 and he'd done a full spin and then carried on up the hill. I kind of hope that it's wet of some description because it changes the race completely and opens up and lets you see some of these, the real kind of, I say that it sounds really cheeky to say, the real driving skill. They've all got amazing driving skills.
Yeah.
However, put a bit of rain down on a slippery track and it's a completely different ballgame.
That's it. That's the difference between you also runs and a world champion a world championship contender.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Max is good in the way, Hamilton's good in the way, Bottas not so much. And there's Alonso, I would see Norris, so there is potential. 40% chance of rain. It's going to be gusty. Winds a bit similar to Friday. That may be affecting them as well, but it should be an interesting race. What's your prediction for the race tomorrow?
Do you know what? I've got to go with Max.
Yeah, I think Bottas hasn't got to hold him up. Do you think Hamilton will get up to second then? Damage limitation.
There's a lot of odd people that are in front of him that aren't used to being there, as you said earlier, banana skin, Tony. So it very much depends. Hopefully it's a clean race. I don't mind people going off, but I hope that people don't lose or win just through, somebody doing a banzai move and taking half the grid out. So there's a good chance that Hamilton could make it up there. He's certainly got a car under him. He just needs to navigate some of the boats that are in front of him.
Do you think if it got to a point where Hamilton does actually catch up with Max, I mean, I can't see it, but I mean, with a clean bit of track, there shouldn't be enough time there. Max should have a fast enough car that Hamilton can't catch him, but managing the race with the front, tyre management and all the rest of it does things. It's the exact same thing that happened with Norris. Norris was, him and Sainz were miles ahead of that group that Hamilton was stuck behind it, and still Hamilton, once he had clean air, made up half a minute on Norris's time. Just by sheer will and pushing the car.
You see a lot of that, though, because how many times this year have we heard Max, leading the race, he's got a good gap behind him, and he starts hearing noises. there's something making a noise, there's something... I suppose it's that kind of thing that's playing on his mind. But I have to say, throughout this season, good, bad, and indifferent, Max always seems to come back with a clear mind. He's not full of nonsense and some of the kind of pre-written speeches that he just kind of comes back and he seems to have really taken even the bad stuff. So, say Baku and all the rest of it, they've had a grump about it. Christian Horner probably more than Max. And we said before, but I think Max has actually been quite sensible and has kind of thought through the whole, this is stuff that's out with his control. He didn't cause that puncture. He didn't, invite somebody to run into him a couple of times. But it's these sort of things. So, I really do hope that Max kind of can pull something out of this. I'm still rooting.
Max has said in the press that he won't lose any sleep if he doesn't win the championship this season.
No,
do you believe that?
No.
I mean,
I don't know if you'd lose any sleep, but I think it would irk him. I think he would be upset.
You've got to be in the sport to win. These guys are all about the winning.
Oh,
and for
absolutely.
Me to say that, he's putting a great front on it, but pressure's pressure, and I think at some point it has to get to him. I think actually, in the last X number of seasons, if anything, Max's aggressiveness and so on is part of the frustration that he didn't have a car to compete. And I think what's mellowed him out this season is that he's got a car to compete. And I think he knows himself that if he can just get through these last few races, keep a level head, he'll be in with a shout in the last race regardless. And then it's sort of play for. I think actually with Hamilton, if anything, Hamilton's probably in the same sort of situation, but Hamilton likes talking to the media and talking nonsense at sometimes to the media. But I think, and even that, I think is just a character he's playing. I don't think he's that person in the background. I think he's just a character.
Yeah, I'd love to find out what these people are actually really like, you know, take cameras away and actually have a chat with them. And I think that's where sometimes with the stuff that Netflix does, I think you see a bit more of the real drivers.
Yeah.
So the actual, you know, as opposed to this kind of polished, you know, media stuff that they've been told to say. It's interesting, there's only 2 points between them. We're heading into the latter part of the season.
So, folks, that's pretty much it for today. If you get a chance to watch at least the highlights of the qualifying, I'd recommend that. The race tomorrow is at 1 p.m. British summer time. I don't know if it's summer here anymore, but certainly
no.
1 o'clock tomorrow for the UK time. Enjoy the race, and we will join you a bit later tomorrow night. Work commitments with myself and Derek, and hopefully Paul with the podcast for the post-race show. Gareth, there's nothing else for me to say except it's goodbye for me.
So long, farewell, adieu.
This has been a Beardercat production for DNF1.